Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. Well, Harry and Meghan's trip to New York was ripped by the British tabloids. Insider recaps the Daily Mail as criticizing the couple for having cocktails on Wednesday night and for not bringing Archie and Lily with them to New York. The Daily Mail also questioned Markle's outerwear for her visit to One World and criticized how much jewelry she was wearing during her visit to the observatory. Likewise, the Scottish Sun implied it was embarrassing that the couple was treating their visit like a royal tour. And the Mirror featured a body image expert who claimed Markle and Harry seemed anxious at their appearances, even though they were affectionate and smiling at each other throughout the morning. Meghan wore heavy layers, with social media baffled by Meghan's wardrobe, with one writing, "Does she never learn how to wear clothes that suit the occasion and the weather? It's a hot and humid day in New York and she's wearing a high collar and coat." Meghan also wore the mysterious pinky ring. The Mail says it believed the ring, made by celebrity jeweler Lorraine Schwartz and reportedly worth an estimated £45,000, was fashioned with diamonds gifted to the couple by a mystery donor in the Middle East. Harry wore a complimentary dark suit and tie. As for the visit to One World Trade Center, the Mail reports the couple arrived 14 minutes late for an 8 a.m. meeting. They arrived in a black SUV and were whisked up to the skyscraper's viewing deck, which sits between floors 100 and 102, to meet New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who arrived minutes before them. The couple held hands as they walked up the steps of the building, with Harry giving a wave to watching fans who shouted his name on seeing him. There were no details on why the royals met with the Democrat lawmakers, nor was what they planned to discuss shared in advance. The evening before, the Mail reports Harry and Meghan and their huge security team descended on the swanky Brillman's Bar in the £1,300-a-night Carlisle Hotel in New York City. Witnesses said the privacy-minded couple pulled up with tens of cars and about 20 guards. Onlookers watched as the hired muscle took over tables around them, trying to blend in as they sipped pre-dinner cocktails and chatted with Misha Nonu and her oil baron husband, Mikey Hess. Misha, who is rumoured to have introduced Meghan and Prince Harry, married her husband, 33, in a star-studded ceremony in Rome in 2019. Others said Harry and Meghan drank martinis before leaving via the back door around 3 hours later and bundling into their Cadillac Escalade. Meanwhile, Kate Middleton was being fabulous playing tennis. But first, let's talk about her ponytail. In Cosmopolitan, Hannah Ibrahim writes, "I was in awe of the way she pulled off the perfect casual ponytail. Her hair was loosely brushed back so there was still volume in her roots, and we're assuming it was given a healthy dose of hairspray to avoid flyaways and adding a coating of shine. As for the ponytail itself, it somehow didn't sit flat. Instead, the Duchess' ponytail had some lift from where it's tied. Maybe the secret lies in the type of hair tie she used, or maybe it was back-combed at the root of the pony. Either way, this kind of perfect ponytail is complete sorcery, if you ask me." Kate was at an event celebrating photography book Hold Still, a portrait of our nation in 2020, a collection of 100 pictures that sum up experiences of 2020 and the lockdown. The book was made in collaboration with the National Portrait Gallery, of which Kate is a patron. While it came out earlier this year, celebrations were put on hold due to COVID-19 restrictions. We also learned just how wonderful Kate is at tennis. U.S. Open champion Emma Raducanu was with Kate at the National Tennis Center. The two knocked the ball around a bit, and Emma said she was very, very impressed with the Duchess of Cambridge's tennis, saying, "Her forehand is incredible. It's a lot of fun to play tennis with the Duchess." Palace Intrigue will be right back. Not all were pleased with the quasi-royal trip by Harry and Meghan. Writing for news.co.au, Danielle Elsa said, "It's worth keeping in mind what a sanctioned, legitimate royal trip to the Big Apple looks like, given that Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, have made the first major appearances of their post-palace careers by staging their own quasi-official tour in New York. Barricades for the public? Check. A press pen for the media? Check. A rolling security cordon involving plain clothes officers, suited security guards, and more than 100 New York police officers, some armed with M4 machine guns? Check. A clearly defined charitable agenda? And it is precisely there that Harry and Meghan's DIY royal tour veers dramatically off course from the palace blueprint. Let's just pause here because the question must be asked. Just what was the point of their One World Trade Center visit? What charity, organization, or cause did it help? The only obvious answer? The Sussex's image. Wanting to pay their respects at the site where thousands of people lost their lives is one thing. Planning an event that involves two photo calls is entirely another. Likewise, no matter the trappings like the security cordons, Harry and Meghan have no diplomatic standing or roles and no longer in any way represent the crown. So why are they traipsing around the UN Plaza and the WHO? Surely the latter has much bigger pandemic-related fish to fry. So how did the Sussexes decide to use their US coming out? What did they choose to do with this potent, not-to-be-repeated opportunity? To take part in a visit with no clear or definable philanthropic goal aside from ensuring a volley of images making them look royal. If there was one image that underscores this, it was that when Harry and Meghan emerged from their five-star hotel for their UN meeting, the Duchess had changed her outfit. For her second designer look of the day, she kept the $1,700 Leroux Merino turtleneck sweater she had worn to One World Trade Center, but replaced her wide-legged black trousers and black coat with what was mooted to be a Max Mara number, a $4,500 bag from Italian brand Valextra, and black sunglasses. After all of this, what is so strange is that when the Sussexes quit as full-time working members of the royal family, they said they wanted to carve out a progressive new role, and yet their new roles look curiously like knockoff copies of their old ones, all shaking hands with officials and posing for photos before it's off to the next meeting. And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your favorite shows. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue and good times.